All right, friends, let's delve in. Let's dive in. There's a lot here. Rimze Pesach Uperish Al Haggadah from our illustrious Rebbe of Kalanimus Kalnish Epstein. Okay, we'll see. He quotes his Rebbe a little bit. We'll get to see maybe a quote from the Noam Elimelech. Okay, so let's see. How does Maseches Pesachim begin? The Gemara Pesachim, first page, first Mishnah, first daf. Or la arbasar bodkin as a chametz laor haner. Seches Pesachim begins or la arbasar on the night of the 14th. We search for chametz by the light of a candle. Yesh lirmuz bezeh. Obviously, there's halacha, and then there's also the deeper reasons why. What is chametz? What is matzah? What are we so stringent about? What are we working on? That's not just a drush that the chametz corresponds to the Yetzer Hara. The truth is, when the Radbaz has his famous tshuva, and he's trying to understand why is it that we're so stringent about chametz, we're willing to negotiate with a drop of milk in our chicken soup. We're willing to negotiate with the possibility of truma being mixed in with grain that is fit for consumption by non-Kohanim. We're even willing to negotiate with Kilei HaKerem. Things are batel, 1 in 60, 1 in 100, 1 in 200. Chametz, we don't negotiate. One drop of chametz, a single yellow crouton, falls into a pot of chicken soup the size of this entire room. It's game over. Chametz. It's not batel in a million. Why? Radbaz in a tshuva, a halachic tshuva, says, I can't figure it out. He says, it must be that what Chazal say is true, that chametz is really like the Yetzihara. And the goal is not to have any Yetzihara in my life. The goal is to eradicate the Yetzihara completely. Now, that's obviously a very lofty goal, right? But at least a couple days of the year, I want to say, I can live chametz free. I can defeat my Yetzihara. I'm bigger than my Yetzihara. Okay, so this notion that chametz is bechinas yetzahar is a very real notion. It explains the halacha that we don't negotiate with chametz. We're not willing to be mevatel chametz. There's no bittel when it falls into that large pot of chicken soup. Umatzah romezes leitzer tov. And matzah, of course, the halig of matzah is the world of the yetzer tov. V'yaduar maimer chazal, we know chazal say, ein be'mayim hel yonim l'mayim tachtonim elok melonima. The space between the upper waters and the lower waters is as narrow, as a small and thin as a hair's breadth, the size of a single hair. That's how fine the line is between what? Between the upper waters and the lower waters. That's how fine the line is between what? Between chametz and matzah. A second makes all the difference. She'ein bechinas mayim el yo. Ubiuro. The explanation is she'ein bein hayetzer tov layetzer hara. There's a point that's a very fine line between Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. Shein bechinas mayim elyonim umayim tachtonim, ela kamalonima. The line between chametz and matzah, and we actually were encouraged to tread that line, to identify that line. When Rabbi Nachman said, kol ha'olam kulo gesher tsar ma'od, I think it's part of this idea. The whole world is just what? Is it's very nuanced. It's very, we have to be very careful. We have to figure out. Okay, we learned that in the Mor v'Shemesh the other week. Right? We learned about the line between Ruchnius and Gashmius. How Kadosh Baruch Hu expanded the world up to that point, Ad she'amar la'olam odai, until Hashem said die. That's perfect. That's exactly the spot. That's the line. We do that. What's the halacha? I don't want to go into it too much right now. It's a whole shir, both in terms of halacha and machshava. Right? But you dafka have to make matzah from what? From something that can become chametz. Why would I do that? If we're so anti-chametz, so make matzah out of a product that doesn't have the ability to undergo the chimutz process. The answer is, Hashem says, no. If you think you're not going to engage with chametz, that's not true. You have to learn how to engage with chametz and then be bigger than it. Chametz is real. Don't pretend it doesn't exist. You can't hide yourself away from it. Take 5 grains that dafka can become chametz, and dafka make matzah out of that. That's the var. Okay? So it's a delicate balance. Shitzarach lihizaher kechut hasara. We need to be careful again. Kechut hasara, literally like a strand of hair. Laval yiteh miderech hachayim. Rak lihishalich b'meisharim. Not to stray from the path of life, but to walk the straight path. That's what Rabbi Nachman is saying. Kol olam kulo gesher tzar ma'od. You're walking a tightrope, and there's plenty of room for you to stand on that rope. You know how I know? Because there are people who do it very well. There are people who can do backflips on that rope. So it's obviously, the rope is apparently big enough. It seems tiny. How can anyone stand on that? Va'ikar loylis pachit klal. But the main thing is not to psych yourself out. Don't be afraid. Your neshama is bigger than your yetzer. Than your yetzer hara. Your yetzer tov is bigger than your yetzer hara. Don't be intimidated. Don't be scared. You can do it. I'm nervous. I'm going to use something that can become chametz to make matzah. What if something goes wrong? Don't worry. You got this. But you have to be prepared to what? To not fall off the tightrope of life. You have to keep your composure. And you have to remember your kochos hanefesh. You have to remember that I have matzah. I don't have to be afraid of chametz. Yeah.
I'm just reading a line that you read. That says, Shane, Bain, Yitzhar, Tov, Yitzhar. There's no difference.
There's no difference. The end of the line is, Ella Kamalonima. Except for a hair's breadth. It's as thick as a piece of hair. As a strand of hair. That's how fine the line is. Sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we think we're doing a big mitzvah, we're really doing a big avera. Sometimes we think we're doing a big avera, and it's actually a big mitzvah. A person eats on Yom Kippur. Big mitzvah or big avera? Depends. If the person's a chola, it's a huge mitzvah. If a person's not a chola, it's a huge avera. Right? How do two people do the same thing with different results? That's what we learned a couple of Sundays ago from the altar of Slobodka, remember? You have a Jew and a Mitzri drinking out of the same cup of water/blood. How do two people drink out of the same cup? For one person it's blood, for one person it's water. What's the secret of that medrash? The Alter of Slobodka told us, and Lesson Svi Finkel Zatzal. The Heliga Alter of Slobodka said, that's exactly the point. You can have two people having essentially the same experience, but it's a different result. So it's a very fine line between the world of chametz and matzah. But we can do it, however. We can walk the tightrope, yeah. Right, it's an interesting question, right? Meaning, when do we put ourselves on the line of, you know, when do we take the risk and try to win? And when do we distance ourselves from those dangers? That's a good question. There certainly are times where we play it safer. Chavetz and matzah is super high stakes. We're dealing with an iser kares. We're working under this time crunch, and yet we're still going for it. It's a good question. They're both important. I guess that's the answer. They're both important. Umipnei ze amru chazal, the Gemara tells us in Menachos, Shehei psucha menatzad. However, the letter hey is one of the most important letters. The Gemara says that this world was created with the letter Hey. Olam Hab was created with the letter Yud. Olam Hab was created with the letter Yud. The letter Yud floats in the sky. It's the only letter of the Hebrew alphabet that's floating in the sky. It's beyond. Feet off the ground. The letter Hey has its feet on the ground, but there's much more to learn from the letter Hey. The Gemara tells us that the Hey is open on the side. Shehaba l'shuv b'tshuva nichnas derech sham. The person gets himself into trouble. In this world, the world of the letter Hey, right? So a person has the opportunity to be chozer b'tshuva, to enter through the side. Now the opening on the side is kind of narrow, as opposed to, writes our Rebbe, the more of a Shemesh, based on the Gemara, ulamata hipsucha. The bottom, there's a huge gaping hole. You fall right at the bottom. Shechas v'shalom hayotze miderach hatova yotze derach sham. God forbid, a person in this world could also sink really low. You could fall straight out the bottom of the hay if you're not careful. You don't watch yourself. And it looks like it's, you know, so where am I? Let's see. If I'm here, right? Like I'm constantly living with this fear that there's like this gaping hole beneath my feet. Right? So I'm not sure how I don't ever fall out the bottom. But what I do know, says the Gemara, that if I do fall out the bottom, I can find a way to get back in. Come back around the side and re-enter, and that's tshuva, right? Look at the word teshuva. The whole notion of teshuva is tashuv hey, return to the hey. Teshuva, tashuv hey, come back to the hey. But you got to come around the side. You got to come around the side. Because if I go back through the same way I fell out, I'll probably fall out again. Sometimes I got to change the environment, you know? Ah, you'll tell me the Rambam says that a true Baal Tshuva is in the same situation and this time he gets it right? Okay. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have to put yourself in that compromised situation. Right? There is such a notion, right? The Rambam says, if you find yourself in the same place with the same person of your desire, where you've committed that taiva, you gave into that act of arayos, and the second time you're back in the same situation, and this time you have the self-control to follow the halach. So there is a notion of you know being back in the same place and getting it right, but you don't have to run right back to the same place. Right, go around the side, find a different pesach. And that's what it means when the Gemara says a person who's seeking tuma or a person who's open to the tame experience, it's open to him. What's open to him? The whole bottom of the hay is wide open. The gates of desire, of averos, of temptation, of tuma, it's very easy to fall. There's a gravitational pull in this world. The Pnei Menachem, the Ger Rebbe said, why is there a gravitational pull in this world? Because that's the reality. There's something pulling us down. We have to know that. Don't forget that. You're fighting a downward pull. So if a person wants tuma, it's patuach, it's wide open. But a person who wants to live a life of purity, they'll help him. They'll help him. Who's going to help him? Why does he need help? Because if the guy is standing over here, Chavra, yeah? He's standing over here and he's trying to get through over here. Who's going to lift him up to get through the side of the hay? He needs to push, you know? He needs someone to help him climb the wall. The leg of the hay is like a big wall. So he needs misayen or so. He needs someone to help him. Someone who says, here, stand on my shoulders. I'll get you back in. Get you back in the game. Shemar in lo, she yitchok sham lichanes. More than that, that they mar in lo, they show him. I know it looks like a narrow opening, but it's kedai to push through over there, to tunnel in over there, squeeze in over there. If I go through the bottom, it'll be easier. It's more comfortable to get in through the bottom. I'm telling you, go around the side, go through the back door. You're better off over there. A good friend tells you that. Take the road less traveled. Know the poem? You don't know that poem? Robert Frost, that's it. I have a copy of it in my office. In eighth grade, I fell in love with that poem. My teacher was very into that poem. It's a Kabbalistic poem. Take the road less traveled by, and that's made all the difference. That's the punchline. So don't go through the bottom of the hay. Go around the side. Achein chas v'shalom kisha'adam nota miderach ha'tova. But chaver, listen to what happens. If you get involved with the bad chaver, and if you don't use the tashuv hay, if you don't come in through the side of the hay, right? Eventually, you know, like in the Robert Frost, Lahavdil, in the Robert Frost poem, you know, the path that's less taken, that's less traveled, eventually becomes overgrown with weeds and all sorts of things. So the point that it looks like it's closed. If a person is nota miderach hatova, azai hu goreim lihisager pesach. The door can be sagur. In other words, what happens over time, things start to grow over here, and eventually it builds up to the point that you don't even realize that there's an entranceway there. What do we call that? The hay turns into a ches. V'nimshach regal ha'hay l'malav v'nas a ches. V'tzarech lidfok al dalsei ha'tshuva ad sheyiftachu lo. So now the door looks closed, and you have to what? You gotta be knocking on heaven's door to get back in. Yeah, you got to find the way back in. You got to find that opening. You got to realize that there is such an opening. Like the Halig of Zohar reveals to us a very deep secret. The Zohar says on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Ge'ar chayas koneh. The Zohar says, rebuke. Chayas here could, we would probably think a chay means like an animal. Could be. Could also just be the people. Right? Rebuke the beasts of the marshland. What does that mean? What does Ga'ar mean? Ga'ar, same letters as Gara. Right? Like the Jews who wanted to bring the Korban Pesach and they missed the opportunity and they were asking for a Pesach Sheni, what did they say? Lama nigara, why should we lose out? So Ga'ar Chayas Kone, the Zohar says, means that we should what? We should diminish the Ches. We should somehow limit the Chayas Kone. What does that mean? Sheperusho. She yigra haches v'yasem imena hay. Pull back the ches. Rebuke it. Put it back in its place. That's what ga'ar literally means. In Hebrew language, very often letters are interchangeable. Sometimes it's keves, sometimes it's kesev. Well, what's the name of that animal? Is it a kesev or a keves? Right? And the answer is the Torah does both. Ramban had one in this past week's parsha. He spoke about the relationship between the pader and the and the shorish pei reish dalid. Pei dalid reish and pei reish dalid. So if you have all the letters, sometimes you can understand it more deeply by rearranging the letters. So ga'ar, to rebuke, sometimes means to put someone in their place. She yigra haches. Pull back the ches. Roll back the ches. Diminish the ches and say, you're not really a ches, you're a hey. You look like a ches because no one's been using that tshuva side door. So it starts to look like a ches. But I know that you're better off if you remain a hay. The same thing is true about the kuf. V'chein ha-kuf shall kaneh. In the word kaneh, right? The kuf is also a hay that's lost its way. If the hay closes up, it becomes a ches. If the leg of the hay starts to drift downward, so then the hay becomes a kuf. So we say to the kuf, go back to a hay also. V'chein ha-kuf shall kaneh. Right, the kuf of the word kana. Turn back. You're not really a kuf. You're supposed to be a hay. Yigra raglam. Right, diminish its legs. Get back to your regular shape. Mivneisha kuf humi osios sheker. Kuf, we know, is a very bad letter. The month of Adar is associated with kuf. The world of Achashverosh. Kuf means a lot of things. It's the centerpiece of the word sheker, as the Gemara says. So if we can cut back the kuf and turn it back into a hay. V'yasa mimeno tevas, hine elokechem yavo. If we turn the kuf nun hay back into hay nun hay, right? So then it becomes a pasuk of declaration. Many psukim that declare the arrival of Mashiach, the arrival of Hashem. Hine elokechem yavo. By the way, in Sefer Yetzira, what's the letter for the month of Nisan? The letter hay. Letter hay, the way it's supposed to be. The world the way it's supposed to be. That's why the world's starting to warm up a little bit. Things are starting to sprout again. The world is getting back to the way it's supposed to be. The letter hey is the way that Hashem envisioned the world. If we mess it up, it turns into a ches. If we mess it up, it becomes warped. It becomes a kuf. V'chol zeh al yidei tshuva u'ma'asim tov. And chaver, it's okay. We're going to make mistakes. Right? We're okay with mistakes, but that's why we have a side entrance. We have the possibility of tshuva. To sweeten and to soften the midas adin, the gvura, at its root. And to bring great light and great blessing upon the Jewish people. So now we come back to the first mission on Maseches Pesachim. Now many tzaddikim have this notion, whenever you have an arba asar, right? Arba asar, Arba is 4, and Eser is 10. Whenever we have a 4 and a 10, and we have a lot of them in various areas of life, right? We could have, for example, something that's 4 by 4 tfachim with a height of 10, with a height of 10 tfachim. I'm trying to define what's considered Rishus Hayachid. Right? So why is it 4 by 10? The idea is that there are 4 olamos. There are 4 worlds. The 4 worlds are Tzilus, Bria, Yitzira, and Asiya. We have 4 olamos, 4 worlds. And each of the worlds are made up by the, or of the, 10 spheros. Okay? So that's why the number 40 is a very significant number when we talk about creation and recreation. Think about the 30 days of Elul with the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, where we recreate ourselves. Think about the 40 days that Ninveh is going to be destroyed. Think about the 40 days of the Mabul. 40 always means a rebirth, a recreation. Think about the fact that when a Jew does an Aveira, the Torah says give him 40 lashes, but we stop at 39. You know why? Because a Yid never sins all the way. There's a part of him that stays. We don't have to destroy him and totally recreate him. We might have to bring him down to that pure point and then rebuild him from there, but we're not going to give him a full 40 lashes. Okay, so number 40 represents creation and recreation. Whenever you have a 4 by 10, or a 4 and a 10, very often in Pnimius, it's alluding to the four worlds, each world made up of its 10 dimensions, the 10 spheres. So now comes along the Yom Tov, the Halig Yom Tov Pesach, which is literally the creation of Klal Yisrael. So beautiful. And how does the Masechta begin? Or La'arbasar, the illumination of the 4 by 10, the restoration, the illumination, bringing light to the four worlds, to the 10 spheros, Perish kishamamshich ha'ara la'arba olamos, sheim klulim kol echad me'eser kedushos. If I could just bring light to the dark corners of my life where the chametz is still lurking, if I can find a way to illuminate the four worlds with its 10 spheros, bodkin es ha'chametz, then maybe I can be bodek the chametz. That doesn't just mean search for chametz. But in Tanakh, when we talk about Lashon Bedek Habayis, when we talk about the Bedek Habayis in the context of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Bedek means to repair, to fix the house. Bodkin es ha'chametz means I want to fix the chametz. Because you know what the difference between chametz and matzah is? That very fine line that you're talking about? The very simple difference between chametz and matzah, right, is a ches versus a hay. That's the whole thing. Chametz is the world that the wall has been closed and you can't do tshuva. Matzah is the world that the door is always open to you. But Rebbe, I'm on the 49th level of Tumah. Okay, Hashem says, okay, that's where I chose Klal Yisrael, on the 49th level of Torah. You're not on level 50. Or Chaim HaKadosh says, if we would have fallen to level 50, we would have been the point of no return. So Hashem, why did you let us drop down to 49? Because Hashem says, because I want to show you that you're never going to get to level 50. There's always a point within you that can be reopened. We can fix the Ches. We can fix the Ches. We can turn the Chametz back into a Matzah. Bodkin bedek habayis means repairing Beis HaMikdash. So bodkin es ha'chametz means fixing your chametz. You hear? It's a gevaldic thing. Fix the chametz. So why are we so busy destroying chametz and getting rid of chametz? Because sometimes first you have to destroy your chametz. But then we make matzah dafka out of something which can become chametz. That's called fixing chametz. You hear? That's not destroying chametz. We take the same flour, and this time we're going to be a little more attentive to the process. We're going to pay closer attention. In a chanami, some chametz has to be destroyed. But then, once I've understand how to tame the beast, right, so my body's not my enemy, the world is not my enemy, it's all opportunities to serve Hashem. So I have to just refine it. I have to be bodek it. I have to pay attention to it. I have to correct it. To fix it. Shesotchin u'mechalkin haches shal chametz v'nasa mizeh tevas matzah, says our Halakha Rebbe. If we can just trim it back, if we could just be mafred, if we could reopen that little door on the side of the ches and turn it back into a hay, then we're back in the world of matzah. Matzah is the food of amunah, matzah is the food of healing, matzah is the world of living with Hashem. Okay. Then he just adds, very briefly, another way to say the same thing, O Yomar, or la'arbasar, another way to say 4 by 10, instead of saying the four worlds, you could talk about four dimensions of soul. Perish, kishemeir nefesh, ruach, neshama, and chaya. Now we know, you're scratching your head, you're saying, hold on a second, I know that there are five dimensions of soul. Right? There aren't just four worlds. There aren't just four levels of soul. Right? There's nefesh, ruach, I'm not saying that these correspond. It's probably actually the other way around. I should have done the other way around. Neshama and chaya. Right. So I'm fixing the four madrigos of soul and their corresponding 10 dimensions. Because the spheros live within us. Right? Chesed is my right arm, guru is my left arm. Chesed, those are midos that I'm supposed to live with. It's an attitude, it's an outlook I'm supposed to embody. So why do I only fix four out of the five dimensions of soul? Because Yechida, that fifth dimension, the highest and holiest part of soul, right, or the deepest part of soul, however you want to say it,
is not
susceptible to being damaged. This is the pintaliyah, this is the part that's safe. Yeah, Torah goes the other way. Nefesh is a siya ruach. Yeah, I really should have done it the other way. Chai is on a higher level. But the point is, it's the same thing. In other words, whether you feel like the worlds have been damaged by your averos, or you feel that you've been damaged by your averos, bodek. Bodek means repair, fix. Fix it. Turn your ches back into a and make yourself some matzah. Yeah.
What's the fifth world
called? The fifth world is called Adam Kadmon. And that's also a very deep and mysterious thing. There's always a hidden fifth dimension. Yes. One of my favorite topics. There's always a hidden fifth dimension. Yeah. I'm just like trying to think. Most people have not heard this year on that topic. David must have heard it at some point. The fifth cup, the secret of the fifth cup.
Yeah.
At the Seder.
Who's the fifth son?
The fifth son, yeah. The fifth son's also. I was actually thinking about giving the shiur on the fifth son tomorrow.
There's so many.
But maybe I'll give the fifth cup also. It's gevaldik stuff. It's one of my favorite topics to talk about. Okay, but there's always a hidden fifth dimension. Yes, a hidden fifth dimension. Okay. All right, let's try the next piece. We'll start it. It's a long piece. We'll just do a snippet of it. There's too many good things here. We'll see what we can get to. Okay, Avadim Hayinu Lepar v'Mitzrayim. Alright, let's get a taste. Avadim Hayinu Lepar v'Mitzrayim. Chaver, keep your finger on the place, we're going fast. V'ilu lahotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zavoseinu v'Mitzrayim. Harei Anu v'Neinu v'Nei v'Neinu Meshubadim Hayinu. Had Hashem not taken us out, we'd still be slaves in Mitzrayim. This is all from the Haggadah. Va'afilu kulanu chachamim, mitzvah leinu l'saper, b'yitzias Mitzrayim. We all have to make an effort to tell the story, regardless of our knowledge. Maisa, right? The Maisa in Bnei Brak, Rav Elazar, all the tzaddikim in Bnei Brak, v'chulu, achabot, tamidei, until the tamidim came, and they said, it's time for Kriyat Shema. And then, baruch hamakom baruchu, keneged our rabbanim dibur Torah. Okay, so our Rebbe wants to give a drush on basically the whole Haggadah. Okay. Levar kol zeh naktim lahayir. Let me ask a couple of kashas, he says. Aleph. What does it mean? Ilu lo hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zavoseinu Meshubadim Hayinu. Had Hashem not taken us out, we would still be slaves. Matzorach lesaperzos. Why do you have to say that? Obviously, if we didn't leave Mitzrayim, we'd still be slaves in Mitzrayim. She'ilu lo hotzi Hayinu Meshubadim. Yeah, of course, if we were still there, we'd still be working for Paro. That's like not a chiddush. Had you not been freed, you'd still be a slave. Right. So let's talk about the freedom. Let's talk about the way you got us out. I'd have to mention we'd still be a slave. We get that. It's pasha. Beis. Lama amar ilu lahotzi mishubadim hayinu. Lashon mishubad adayin enu mora al godol ha'avdus. The fact that it says you would be mishubadim, you'd still be working for Paro, we'd be mishubad. Mishubad means I have a degree of responsibility. Why do I need to say that? You just say it like you said it the first two words, avadim hayino. Right? We were avadim. We're not just mishubad. I'm mishubad also to the homework assignment that I have to hand in by Thursday. I'm not a slave. But I'm a shubid to it. I'm bound to it. I have a degree of responsibility for it. So what does that mean? And more than that, and this is really what we're going to mainly talk about, Ga matam le sipur yetzias Mitzrayim. It seems so obvious to us, but what is the point of sipur yetzias Mitzrayim? Do we have a formal mitzvah obligation to tell every great story that ever happened to the Jewish people? Halo avru aleinu kama galios. Right? Do we have a mitzvah to tell the story of how we got out of Galus Yavan? Do we have a mitzvah to tell the story of how we overcame the Nebuchadnezzar and Galus Bavel? V'lo nitzavinu b'sipur. Why is there such an inyan of, no, story, gotta tell the story. U'man ishtana Galus Mitzrayim sh'mitzvah l'tzaper b'yitziyaso. Now, obviously the Pashut answer is because that's the first story. That's like, the foundational formation story of the Jewish people. So, again, we get that, and that's true. Obviously, the Rebbe wants something more. There's something fundamental about telling the story that is part and parcel of the Pesach experience. The Medrash says you have to realize the Jewish people were very guarded in certain areas in Mitzrayim. In the merit of three things they left Mitzrayim. Yes, there's other versions that say four things. Sometimes the list changes, but every list has these two. Shiloshino es shemam, loshino es lishonam. They kept their Jewish names. They kept their names, and they kept their language. V'yesh le'zbonin. First of all, mashaloshino es shemam, ma ma'ilaso. What's the mile of not changing your name? What is that? What's that about? Why is that such a big deal? And more than that, gam amru shaloshino es lishonam. How is that possible? You don't think they picked up any Egyptian in the 200 years they were in Mitzrayim? 200 plus years they were in Mitzrayim, and they spoke Hebrew the whole time? Really? When Egyptian taskmaster was screaming at them, they responded in Hebrew? Asher lo hevinu lashon hakodesh? The Egyptians didn't learn Hebrew. They weren't interested in that. So when your taskmaster asked you a question, you needed to respond. And you probably responded in the language of the land, which was not Hebrew, not Lashon HaKodesh. And more than that, what's so bad about learning other languages? No, Moshe translated the Torah into 70 languages. Hoil Moshe Beir Es HaTorah, Rashi says, he translated the Torah into 70 languages, beginning of Chumash Devarim. What's so bad about other languages? Gam Amru Chazal furthermore tell us, Shai Rishon Einim Yodim Es Shumam Bekever. There's a fear that a person's going to forget their name when they leave this world. I only saw this once that I recall. I was once at a Levaya, and the Chevra Kedisha there was helping out with the burial. They said, after the body was placed in the ground, they said to the guy, let's say his name was, you know, Yaakov ben Moshe. Yaakov ben Moshe, remember your name. As they were burying him, they were saying, it was very intense. I never saw that. I've heard this idea before. But they were saying, Yaakov ben Moshe, remember your name. Don't forget your name. Don't forget your name. Super intense and interesting thing. What is that? What's this notion that a Russian is going to forget his name and he leaves this world? Is that time of boy? What's the big deal? What is that? Why is it so hard to remember your name? And why is it so significant? Madua Einam Yodin Shom. Why don't they know their name? How do you forget your name? Levayer Kol Zenira. So to explain all of this, Alpi Maimer Chazal, an interesting quote that's found in Tosfos and Ksubis. He quotes it actually a little bit different than the actual Lashon. So if you try to look it up, you'll see it's a little bit different. But it says in Tosfos and Ksubis, an interesting Maimer Chazal. Maimer from Tosfos. Acha'ata mispalel Shiyichontzu b'cha divrei Torah. You're going to laugh. It's very ironic. You're going to see why in a second. Before a person davens that I should be able to be filled up with what? The Torah should enter into my life. Torah should enter my mind, my heart, my body. First you should daven hispalu shelo yichnesu b'cha ma'cholos asuros. First daven that you shouldn't eat cheeseburgers. Before I get Torah into me, I should make sure I don't get cheeseburgers in me. Now the truth is, if I remember correctly, I didn't look it up. I didn't have a chance. But if I remember correctly, the real Lashon in Tosfos is more like, it doesn't say Machalos Asuros. It says before a person davens, that Torah should enter into their innards, right? They should first ask Hashem to prevent all of the Ta'anuge Olam Hazeh, right? The pleasures of this world. They should make sure that all of this, yeah, doesn't get inside of them. Because this is going to be an impediment. All of this nonsense is going to be a big impediment to getting a machlokas between the ketzos and the nesivos into your brain. So before you fill up on ruchnias, be careful how you fill up on gashmias. That's what Tosfos is saying. What is that? It's an interesting idea. You know, before I start filling up on the good stuff, make sure I get the junk out of my life. Va'inyin hu kine kol mine diburim mikol mine lishonos. Chevra, if we believe, as Jews do believe, that Lashon HaKodesh was the language of creation. That the world was built on the Torah. And the 22 building blocks of creation are the 22 letters. That's our periodic table of elements called the Chaf Beis Osios HaTorah. And all the languages are really just some type of rearrangement of those letters. The same way Hashem rearranged those letters to make this table that I'm sitting at. And Hashem rearranged the letters to make this pen that I'm holding. Hashem rearranged the letters in such a way to create languages like Spanish and French and Russian. Hakshurim b'chamisha motzah sapeh, which are also, right, they're enunciated from the same five parts of speech that all speech comes from. But it's rooted in some way, it's rooted in some way in Lashon HaKodesh. Very interesting thing. You see it sometimes. Reishis bara Elokim, Eis HaShemayim, Ve'Eis HaAretz. I only realized a couple of years ago how the word Aretz and the word Earth are actually the same word. Think about it for a second. Right? Aretz and Earth are the... It's just a question if you make it a Tz or a Th. It's rooted in the same word. There's a lot of words like that. You can find and recognize their origin. On Pesach, it says, don't eat chametz and rid yourself of sa'or. Anyone know what sa'or is? Sourdough. Sour, sa'or, sour. It's sourdough, which was one of the great inventions of ancient Egypt. Right? So there's words. There's words that are rooted, and it's all words, whether we realize it or not, whether it's on a more superficial level like the examples I just gave you. Right? But we believe that Lashon HaKodesh was the language of creation. When a person says A, B, C, D, it doesn't sound like Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, but somehow it's rooted in that. Again, whether it's rooted on a surface level or on a more metaphysical level, it's rooted there. Sheheim heim osios torasenu akadosha. V'lachein. Kisha'adam shomer piv ulishono. So this is so interesting. Says our Rebbe, so when a person guards his speech, when a person speaks in a refined way, when a Jew speaks the way a Jew should speak, dahainu, sheshomer atzmo, shelo yifkom bris halashon b'machalos asuros. When you protect your mouth, maybe that's part. If Pesach is really about speech, which it is, it's about the redemption of speech, so maybe that's why we have to guard our mouth, what? In terms of our food as well. I eat a very restrictive diet on Pesach because that's also part of guarding my mouth. I want this space, right? I want my mouth to be a sacred space, a holy place. I don't want it to be contaminated by non-kosher food. I don't want it to be contaminated by non-kosher conversations or words. V'yam shelo yedaber shkarim v'lashon hara. I don't want to declare false ideas in the world. And I don't want to speak badly about people. And I don't want to have the midah of leitzanis, where I mock and ridicule and speak down towards everything. V'domein, I want to refine my mouth. So if your mouth is holy, listen to this, it's such a chiddush. Az pivu lishono heim b'kedusha, if your mouth and your tongue are guarded, if they're holy, ve'enam tachas asitra achra, and I control the input, and I control the output, I control what I put in my mouth and what I take out of my mouth, the words I speak. I don't let the yetzahara, the sitra achra, take over. I guard the five dimensions of speech, the five parts of speech. All the 22 letters can be broken into five categories. Va'oz af im yedaber b'sharei lishonos, diburav heim b'chlal lashon hakodesh. So then when you're speaking English, that's also called speaking lashon hakodesh. That's a big chizuk. Because there's a part of us that should feel bad that we don't. Why don't we speak in Lashon HaKodesh? What the Rebbe is telling us is Lashon HaKodesh is defined by the type of speech that a person speaks. So you could be speaking French and it's called Lashon HaKodesh. You could be speaking Russian and it's called Lashon HaKodesh. If I'm talking Jewish ideas, I'm talking in a Jewish way. Now obviously as we learned, there's a certain sensitivity to the Hebrew language. But when I speak in a clean way, that's also called Lashon HaKodesh. When I eat in a holy and clean way, that's also called Lashon HaKodesh. She'ikra Lashon HaKodesh bi'uro, the explanation of what it means, Lashon HaKodesh, is she'lashono asher piv, she'kshurim ba, ha'chaf beiz osios, the words that come out of my mouth, made up of the 22 letters that are the foundational blocks of, of speech and of creation, he kedosha al yedei sheshomer mikol dvarim ha-poigmim bebris ha-lashon. My speech is guarded from any type of pagam, any type of damage that comes about through speech. So when my mouth is refined, when I guard my mouth in the right way, right? The same way that I want to have a Pesach, an opening on the side of the hay, to be able to return to Hashem, right? So my most obvious Pesach of my body, my opening of my body is my mouth. My ears are also openings, my eyes are openings. Obviously, the Bris Milah is an opening. But the most obvious opening for input and output is my mouth. So when it's guarded, when it's proper, so then my whole being is guarded. So now we're trying to understand, so in Mitzrayim, the Jewish people, they were guarding, they were trying to hold on to Lashon HaKodesh. They were trying to guard the way that what? That they spoke. They spoke in Egyptian, but they did so in a Jewish way, in a refined way. She'ein achizas hachitzonim b'diburav. Right? That the chitzonius shouldn't grab hold of my koach hadibur. She'im sirufei osios ha-torah ve'enim yacholim l'balbalam. Not to allow the Egyptians to degrade it. Not to allow the Egyptians to damage it. It's interesting. We find in some of the writings of the Tzaddikim of Ishbitz that in Mitzrayim they spoke in a very crass way, in a very foul way, which makes a lot of sense. It's not a big chiddush, right? The same guy in your summer internship who doesn't know how to speak without cursing every sentence, lo aleinu, if you find yourself in that type of work environment, right? Probably is not so refined in his sexual activity as well. There's a relationship between the bris hapeh and the bris hamaor, as we call it, the bris halashon and the bris hamaor, the bris milah. There's a relationship between the peh, kedushas hapeh, and kedushas habris. Those are the two brisos. And I told you, we saw it in the Ramban. Sefer Yetzirah says, between your 10 fingers and your 10 toes, Hashem made a bris. Between your 10 fingers, you hold your hands up like this. Between your hands is your mouth. Between your toes is your bris milah. There's a relationship between the way a person speaks and the way that a person acts. Mitzrayim is called Ervas Haaretz. There was a lot of arayos. So that tells us about the way that they spoke as well. When Eishes Potiphar is trying to convince Yosef, can we just talk to each other in a sexually explicit way? We don't have to do anything. She says, there's an extra word, lamer. Look back in Parshas Vayishlach. Vayeshev. Look back over there. You'll see an extra word, lamer. Lamor shechva imi. She spoke to Yosef saying, sleep with me. What's that extra saying? What's that extra lamor? She's saying, if you're not going to sleep with me, so say the words, I will sleep with you, and then I'll leave you alone. Because she knows, if she can contaminate his mouth, she'll contaminate the rest of him also. They go hand in hand. And we see it in a very obvious way in the world. So therefore, Chaver, let's finish up. Let's keep going. Achein be'im chas v'shalom ha'adam pogeim bris ha'lashon. So if I contaminate my mouth, I heard that this hechsher is fine. Okay, realize what that means. You're putting it into your body. It's becoming part of your blood. It's becoming part of your system. Or a person contaminates his mouth with what comes out of the mouth, with rechilus, God forbid, slandering people, leitzanis, shkarim, falsehood, mockery, vidomeim, and the like. Adam kazeh, such a person. That's called giving over your mouth to the Satan. That's called giving over your mouth to the Yetzirah. By the way, what makes us different than animals? Speech, koach hadibur, being more sensitive and selective, what we eat, how we eat, what goes in, what goes out.
And also the feet.
The feet, yeah. Right. Well, that we have, right. In an animal, its head is level to its body. Right? By a person, your head, your brain, your mouth, it's supposed to be above, right? The lower organs, the lower part of the body. So when your mouth becomes contaminated, so your Torah is also contaminated. And a person sometimes has an inflated sense of self, his sparas, he speaks too much about himself. You get together with a friend to catch up, and all he wants to do is talk about himself. He never even bothers to ask how you're doing. So a person who speaks And this is also very interesting. You could be speaking Hebrew and it's not Lashon HaKodesh. You could be speaking French and it's Lashon HaKodesh. You could be speaking Egyptian and it's Lashon HaKodesh. It's a quality of speech. It's an attitude of speech. A person could be speaking Lashon HaKodesh Kodesh, and Eino Bechlal, Lashon HaKodesh Be'emes. It's not Be'emes Lashon HaKodesh. She'eino Lashono Asher V'piv Kedusha. It's not a language that comes from a holy mouth. With this piece, you can understand a little bit more why certain tzaddikim preferred Yiddish over Hebrew at a certain period of Jewish history. Because they felt that the people who were speaking Yiddish were speaking Torah and Tefillah and eating kosher. Right? And some of the people who were, you know, trying to restore Hebrew language didn't keep Shabbos and didn't keep kosher and slandered the creator of the world. Spoke against God. So unfortunately, that's not Lashon HaKodesh. You could try to redeem it and try to bring it back. And Baruch Hashem, it's happening in the world. Right? But things are pretty hot these days in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, what? The same thing is true about guarding one's name. Russia doesn't know his name in the kever. Because the name that a person is given, literally, arisaso means from his cradle, from his crib. The name that you had when you were a child. Your name is revealing something about the essence of your soul. Your name is the refined version of who you could be. So interesting. Relates so much to that last sugya that we did in Gittin, no? What name do you put in the get? Rabbeinu Tam's question at Tosos, right? He goes by an Avodah Zarah name. Is that the name we should call him? Or no, we should fight and say, God forbid, call him by his Jewish name. Give him a chance to come back to who he really is. When a person holds on and doesn't give up his speech, he also doesn't give up his name. That's why in Mitzrayim, lo shinu es lashonam, lo shinu es shamam. They guarded their speech, they guarded their names. That means they guarded their essence, they knew who they were. They understood the root of things. Nisha lo shem zeh, v'tzirav zeh, sheyesh lo kafi shar shol b'kedusha. He guards, he remains with his name. Masha'en ken, God forbid, kasha'odam pogeim diburav. When a person uses his speech in the wrong way, you know what happens, unfortunately? What happens is, he's mishtamish b'tzirufei osios ha-Torah le-tzarfan, le-daber v'hem diburim asurim, b'tzirufan asurim. When a person takes that incredible gift of speech and abuses it, you take the letters of creation, you take the koach ha-dibur, and you misuse it. K'nivlus peh v'rachilus, you speak in a crass way, nivl peh, which the Gemara says is very, very severe. It's just words. Come on. What's the difference? Rechilas, a person slanders other people. Azaygam l'shamo nasa tziruf acha me'asitra acha. So then you start to adopt what? You adopt foreign language. You get a foreign name. A sitra acha name. A name from the other side. V'lachin eini yodeya az shamo. So when you get face to face with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Hashem says, who are you? You say, I unfortunately don't even know who I am anymore. I don't know my name. I've lost that original name that I once had. So now we're starting to understand, wow, what were we so guarded in Mitzrayim? They kept proudly their Jewish names. And they kept their Jewish language. Changing language doesn't mean what language you're speaking in. It's about the quality of your language. What type of things are you comfortable saying or talking about? If a person guards himself from prohibited speech, so they were speaking Egyptian, but it was Lashon HaKodesh. A dying Lashon who Lashon HaKodesh. V'chaseh shalom kishapogim piv. Bishkarim v'leitzanus. When I speak in a way again that's unholy, afkashem edaber b'lashon hakodesh ein zel lashon hakodesh. That's not called lashon hakodesh. V'avosenu b'mitzrayim lo shinu es lashon hamikdusha. So they kept their kedusha. So now, Hinei Isa b'kisvei Arizal. Says the Heilige Arizal. Now let's just put it together a drop more. We're not going to do the whole thing. We don't have time. But says the Arizal, Paro very much wanted us to move away from holy speech. How did Moshe, how is Moshe Rabbeinu, who was so tight with God, so close with Hashem, how is Moshe described in the Torah? He's described in the Chumash, in Parshas Kisisa, as a friend of God. And they sit and they talk face to face, peh el peh, mouth to mouth. Not just panim el panim, it's also peh el peh, mouth to mouth. Shir Hashirim, we say at the night of the Seder, when we finish the Haggadah, if you're Zocha, I give you all a bracha, you should be Zocha to recite Shir Hashirim. That's the minhag, at the end of the Seder, after all the Chag Gadya. Sing the love song, because you feel so in love with Hashem, 117 psukim, Shir Hashirim. Shir Hashirim, 117 psukim, Shir Hashirim. They say it's 117 psukim, because 117 is gematria, peh plus lev. I finally feel that I have the word, at the end of the Seder, I finally feel I have the words to express the love I feel in my heart. Peh is 85, lev is 32, 117. That's the number of psukim in Shir Hashirim. So by the end of the Seder, I want to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. I want to be able to sit, peh al peh. And one of the first things we say in Shir Hashirim is what? Yishikeni minishikos pihu. Hashem, kiss me with the kisses of your pihu, of your peh. I want to be peh al peh. Peh al peh is interesting. Peh al peh doesn't mean just I'm just sitting across you. Peh al peh means we're kissing. Mouth to mouth. So in Mitzrayim, we wanted to keep our lips, so to speak, lined up with Hashem. Paro wants to bring out the worst of us. You know how we're described when we're described? And it's also a praise of Klal Yisrael, but in a certain way, it's like, it's the ultimate way to trash the Jew. We're an Am, Keshay, Oref. Where's the Oref? The opposite of the Peh, the back of the neck. This is where I want to be. I want to be in the world of Peh. But God forbid, I become a stiff-necked people. Right? You can't speak out of the back of your head. Says the Heilige Arizal. These are secrets of Torah. Says the Arizal. Arizal tells us, She'achizas paro haya b'meitzar hagaron. Paro is associated with what? With the constriction of the throat. The stranglehold. So you can't speak. That's why paro, the Arizal says, is osios ha'oref. Ha'oref means what? The neck. The back of the neck. Paro is trying to crush our ability to communicate. And you know what? Even though we didn't change our lashon, we did forget how to talk to Hashem. Where's the turning point in Yetzias Mitzrayim? When we scream, we cry out to Hashem. We remember how to talk. We remember how to talk to Hashem. Paro doesn't speak lashon HaKodesh. That's one of the things that Yosef has the upper hand in. He doesn't speak lashon HaKodesh. What, he couldn't learn another language? He knew all the languages, he couldn't learn another language. Why couldn't he learn another language? The answer is because Lashon HaKodesh is not just another language. It's not learning how to speak in Hebrew. It's learning how to communicate like a Jew. Paro could not learn that. Of course he couldn't learn that. He's the world of Ha'oref. He's the back of the neck. Shailu Achiza Ba'oref. He tries to strangle us so that we can't even call out to Hashem. V'hu ki kol achitzonim magamasim lebalbal es Yisrael me'avodas Hashem. What the Chitzonius tries to do, what the Sitra Acha tries to do is to be mabalbalas. To not even know how to talk to Hashem. And like I told you, the night of the Seder is a restoration of Jewish speech. There's a mitzvah d'araisa, which is the centerpiece of the night, called what? Talk. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kol amarba l'saper. The more you do it, hareza mishu. Talk like a yid. Come to the Seder and talk. Tell every story that you can think of about God. Tell every story that you remember. Every pasuk you remember, every rash you remember, every medrash you remember, act it out, talk about it, make it alive again. Because the Rishon were trying to rob us of that hashpa of holiness. What was Paro trying to do? La shok hakol, to steal our voice. Hayotze mi meitzer hagaron. The guttural cry, which is, by the way, how we return to Hashem. We didn't communicate with words. It starts with a scream. It starts with a scream. And power couldn't take that away from us. You have to realize, power couldn't take that away from us. Kol Yaakov. The voice is always the voice of Yaakov. However, we have four cups of wine. Why? Four Lishonos of Gula. Four Lishonos of redemption. Right? Four cups of wine, four Lishonos, Lashon, four Lishonos of redemption. Says this Fasemes, but there's five parts of speech. He mentioned it a few times already. The Hei Motza Sapeh. You can never get the fifth dimension power. You're never going to get the fifth dimension. Four you can take, but five you can't take. One of my favorite Varts. I always like to say that, what does it mean that four-fifths of the Jews died in Makas Choshech? Right? Four-fifths of everything. There's four out of five dimensions can be destroyed by power. But there's one dimension that never dies. There's a fifth dimension. There's a point within a Jew. Says the Sfas Emes. Says the Sfas Emes. We only need four cups of wine. Because the fifth cup, the fifth dimension was never held in captivity. And if we're going to put the fifth cup on the table, it's Eliyahu. It's the absolute belief in the arrival of Mashiach. It's the redeemed part of ourselves. So power is trying to take away the voice of a Jew. They're not even be able to scream. Right? Power with all of his lies and his deception. That we should become slaves to the Sitra Acha. This is really halacha lemaisa. Because when you find yourself, and I hope you never do, but if you do find yourself in an environment where people speak in a crude way, it's very easy to adopt that and start talking that way. You don't have to do that. Just because the guy who you're working for in the summer internship, you know, the guy who you're directly responding to, he talks and don't do that. You know that one of the families, there's a family in the Torah that its name is changed from Shemos to Bamidbar. In one place it's called Etzbon, and one place it's called Ozni. There's a Gemara in Ksubis that says we have five fingers. And why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu give us an etzba? That if you hear a davar maguna, you should take your etzba and you should put it in your ozen. So Rashi writes in his commentary on Chumash, I don't know why the name of this family's name changed. They used to be called etzba, now they're called ozni. They used to be called ozni, now they're called etzbon. But the Ishvitzer Rebbe says, no, because in Mitzrayim, the Jews had to take their etzba and put it in their ozen. Because they didn't want to be contaminated by the disgusting way the Egyptians spoke. They wanted to guard Lashon HaKodesh. It wasn't just remembering how to speak Hebrew. They spoke Egyptian very well. But they spoke in a refined way. So Chevra, let's just say the punchline. V'zeu she'amru b'zohar HaKadosh, says the Zohar, she'mitzrayim hayad dibur b'galus. Obviously, after everything we learned today, what we're trying to do, and whatever this means, and there's endless amounts of Torah on this concept. But Mitzrayim was the redemption of speech. The Dalad Lishonos Shel Geula. Redeeming our speech. Shalol Yachul Ledaber Hadibur B'Dechilu Rechimu. As much as we guarded Lashon HaKodesh, we no longer knew how to communicate with Dechilu and Yira. Rechimu means Ava. We had lost our ability to talk to Hashem. The turning point when we cried out to Hashem, when we realized we hadn't really lost it. But Klape Shemayim, we felt inadequate. We didn't know how to talk to Hashem. We didn't know how to talk. Nikra Paro. Look at the name Paros, also based on the Arizal. Paro is the letters what? Pe, Ra. Evil speech. That's who he is. That's what he wants from us. And that's why Moshe, when he's first introduced, you're going to be the redeemer of the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ki kvad pe uchvad lashon anochi. Ve'ech yishma'ini Paro. I'm not such a good speaker. Paro is the world of Pe, Ra. He's not going to be impressed by me. The dibur was the kolach dibur was in galus, and needs to be redeemed. But of course, Chavra, and this is where I'm stopping to read for today. Of course, the Yom Tov is called Peh Sach, which means what? Peh, a mouth that is sach, sicha, that speaks, a mouth that communicates. Sach, he writes here, Sach, he has different Ramazim on Sach. Gematria 68, he says different Shemos of Hashem. Sach is Gematria Chaim, a mouth that's alive. A dead mouth is a mouth that speaks Lashon Hara. Gemara says Lashon Hara kills people. It kills the one who speaks it, and it kills the one who you speak it about, and it kills the one who heard it. So that's called dead speech. Live speech, Lashon HaKodesh, talking to Hashem, giving a compliment to a fellow Jew, building a person up, davening, learning. Kol amarbe l'saper, areza meshubach, the more that you speak. And he writes here, as the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh does as well, that l'saper is Lashon of sapir, which means what? Like a sapphire, to shine. Shining speech. Shining speech. Make your words shine. I told you the other week, one of the first things the Gemara says in Pesachim, the Gemara says that a Rebbe has to learn how to say something in a refined way. And a person shouldn't speak in a, right? The first word of Maseches Pesachim is what? Or. Which means, on the night of. What? That's a very sensitive way to say on the night of. Or. Last night said or means light. That's very refined speech. That's illuminated speech. Kol amar b'lisaper. That's shining speech. Okay? He goes on and he connects it to the Maaseh of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chevron B'nei Brak, to the Dalet Banim. Each one was asking Akasha about what's this Indian of refined speech? How does it work? How do we get there? Right? Rabbi Gamliel, anyone who doesn't say Pesach Matzamar, why can't I just eat Pesach Matzamar? I have to say it. The answer is because this is the night where what? Where we learn how to talk about things. We learn how to tell our story. We learn how to say. It's Pesach. It's not Paro. It's not Ha'oref. It's not the back of the neck. It's learning to communicate in a way that is beautiful and refined and sweet. Okay? So let's stop here for today. It was an hour already. An hour and 1 minute. It's time to stop. But there's a couple other ones I want to show you. So maybe tomorrow we'll go weiter in his Haggadah insights. Okay?